of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The word of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated.
If I can make it back in time for the confession, we do us instead of you.
You got it.
As always, your kids are invited to Children's Chapel, and they'll be back in time for communion and prayers.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. When I was younger, I used to work at an occasional picture puzzle. One year at Christmas, a company released a very unusual trio of picture puzzle designs made for that person in your life who has everything. I was fascinated with them. But I was on a real budget at the time and had no one to give one to, so I could not buy one. There were three things that made them totally unique at the time. They were round, about 18 to 20 inches across. They cut out pieces were almost exactly identical in every piece, and they came in a solid, uniform color. My favorite one was called Little Red Riding Hood's Hood. As you can see, the mystery of what it would be like to solve one of these remains with me today. This past week, as I was pondering our story in Mark, I remembered those puzzles because I felt like I was working on one of them. Every time I added a piece, something did not fit. By now, some of you are wondering what I am talking about. This is a very famous section where Jesus is giving the rich a smackdown. If you are rich, you are not going to heaven. Cut me some slack here. Even the disciples were shocked and confused. Upon first reading, the story seems quite simple. But if you read it over a few times a day for a couple of days, it no longer appears simple. This particular scripture selection has some very visual details and an unusual pattern of order. We open with Jesus and all of his disciples literally walking out of town to embark on a journey. A man runs up, catching them, and kneels before Jesus. The man says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit life?" There are two striking concepts in this sentence. The first one that grabbed me was inherit. Why should this man expect to inherit anything of the kind? An inheritance is wealth, property, or rights, or something of value passed through a legal understanding or document to a person when someone dies. Upon reflection, I realized inherit is a very important concept in the Old Testament. It is part of the covenant or promise God made to Abraham. They became God's chosen people and were given land. These wandering tribes were given special status, place, and a very powerful guardian. The concept of this inheritance is discussed often in the first five chapters of the Old Testament. But at the time of this encounter, Jesus is readying himself for another concept of inheritance. Jesus is getting ready to sacrifice himself for the sins of his followers, and they will receive the inheritance of eternal life upon his death. The other part that stands out is good teacher. Note that Jesus points this name out to the man and asks him why he uses it. We're not going to linger on the various possible meanings of good and just stay with what Jesus uses. Only God is good, so why do you call me good? Put it in lights and underline this part. Jesus is asking the kneeling man if he knows who he is talking to. The big theme of the New Testament is, who do you say that I am? This kneeling man does not recognize Jesus as the Messiah, the living God. Understanding the kneeling man does not recognize who he is, Jesus speaks to the man in the language he understands. Jesus recites the Ten Commandments, the law from the Old Testament. The kneeling man tells Jesus that he has followed these laws since he was young. Mark tells us that Jesus looked at the man and loved him. We know that Jesus does a lot more than see when he looks. We know that Jesus knows everything about the person he is looking at, just as he did with the woman at the well. Jesus tells the man he must give away all of his possessions and then follow him. Only then does the scripture tell us this man is wealthy with many possessions. A much more complex picture appears now. This is a man who is a rock star in traditional Judaism at the time. If you remember your Job, you know that wealth is considered a sign of God's favor. If you were poor, you were not living a proper life with God. So here is a man who is favored by God with wealth, who has followed all of the law of Moses, and is now wanting to claim the promise of inheritance, eternal life. And Jesus tells him no. The disciples do not understand this at all. They have not yet understood the change that Jesus is making because they are just adding Jesus' teachings to the concept of the law under Moses. Jesus took the Ten Commandments and revised them into two commandments. You are to love the Lord first. Then you are to love everyone else and treat them as brothers, like you want to be treated. Wealth in these verses refers to two concepts. First, the Old Testament system of legalism. Follow all the laws and you will earn your way into the kingdom of God. Jesus is making it clear. Mankind cannot earn their way into anything. Salvation is only by grace. God can grant it to you, but you cannot earn it by following the letter of the law. Jesus tells us we are responsible for the spirit of the law and that no one is capable of avoiding all sin but the Lord. The second concept is the value the kneeling man placed on wealth. Jesus is gently reminding one must love God before all things. He could just as easily ask us to give up golf, our new cars, the big house, whatever we value most. Wealth for this man represented ease, power, and security. Jesus tells us we should rely on God for those things. He reminds us all that we have is a gift from God that we are given to use and take care of for a while. We are to be stewards of those gifts and to assist with God's work. With our offering in church, we say, "All things are thine, and of thine own have we given thee." The kneeling man who runs after Jesus to ask for his inheritance represents the traditional Jews of the time. Jesus looks on them and loves them. But he is also telling them, as well as us, that we need to reorder our priorities. We have to get our spirit right. We need to put our ladders on the right wall. First, we love God and follow him. As we do that, all of the deeds will come. And we note, Peter is claiming special attention for the disciples as they began to understand Jesus' message. "Look, Jesus, we have already done what you asked. We left everything and followed you exactly like you told that man to do." Gently and quietly, Jesus reminds them that the road will not be all rewards. There will be persecutions in this age. In the age to come, honor and accolades from this life will not guarantee choice treatment. For Jesus calls us to follow him, to trust him. We are to take care of each other in this life and let God take care of us in the life to come. The wonderful image of a camel going through the eye of a needle reminds me of the saying we use today, "When pigs fly." A camel was probably the largest animal that Jesus' followers ever saw, so they could readily understand the impossibility of one fitting through a needle. That is the likelihood of our being able to obtain eternal life on our merits. Jesus tells us simply, "Follow me."